You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, episode 399.9997. Hello and welcome to the episode 399 whatever. It's not 400. We're working on it, guys. I'm sorry, but John, I saw Adam and yeah, I know. It's yeah, anyway, welcome to episode 399.9997 of the Punk News Podcast. I am your fill-in host, Ricky Frankel, editor, reviewer, all that dumb shit. For some reason, I guess Adam was sick. John wasn't able to make it today, so I will be your host for this evening. I have, you just heard him, in Michigan, we have Tom Trauma, reviewer extraordinaire. Tom, how's it going?
What's up, guys?
It's good. And then I have another Midwesterner who just got into college, and congratulations.
We're all in different time zones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that
are you on Easter?
Ricky's it's like dinner time at Ricky's house. It's like bedtime at my house. Yes.
So
Sean, I don't know. He's a young man about town. He probably stays out all night anyway.
So So that is Sean Crawford. Sean, how are you doing today? It's been a while since you've been on the podcast, right?
Yeah, it has. It has been a while.
And and congratulations on getting into college, man.
He's been buckled down in his studies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I just got out of school like a couple weeks ago, so hopefully I can devote more time to the org.
Sweet. Sweet.
But,
so Sean, you're kind of, without giving anything too much away, you're kind of going to college locally.
Yeah, but I'm going to be living in the city.
Or will you be living at the campus?
Yeah.
You will be living in the city.
Sean, it has to be awesome to be out of high school, though. I mean, I remember feeling like just, holy shit, that is done.
You know, I go to Chicago pretty regularly for shows, and hotel rooms are super expensive, so I'll just start crashing at Sean's dorm. And be like, who's this? Who's this drunk 40-something-year-old guy crashing on your floor, Sean?
But my roommate. But Sean, that's great. I'm reliving the relief through you. So this week, again, Adam, John are not here. I got to say, it's actually quite the honor. I have been listening to the podcast since it started, and it's pretty surreal to be hosting it now. So this is kind of a big deal for me.
Don't blow your big chance. Don't blow your big chance.
I don't think I'm going to.
The world is watching now. You've been doing this a long time now.
Plus,
you know, this would be like the really, really young guy show if it wasn't for me. So if you want, you guys could just like, ask me like fatherly advice for the next time.
Well, Tom, we got plenty of for you to talk about, especially in our first segment. We have a bunch of fest stuff to, not the fest, but festival stuff to talk about. A lot of fest.
No, nobody's going to Florida.
A lot of festival news.
I know. I'm looking into it. I like the lineup this year for fest.
It's only the first wave has been put out.
The fest is never for me. Like, it just doesn't.
Oh, it's for me last year, especially.
It's geared towards me. Yeah, well, it's geared towards a certain crowd. I love the idea of it. I just don't know if I can do it anymore. I don't know if my liver can keep up, but we'll get into that later.
But we do have a lot of festival stuff to talk about. I think we should just jump into it, guys. I think kind of the way to go.
Come on, Ricky. Let's leap. Let's leap.
Okay, so I talked about this last episode. I was at Punk Rock Bowling. It was phenomenal. If you haven't listened to that episode, I recommend it. I'd kind of go through the whole thing. Hopefully my review is up. That was, I think it came out to like 3,000 words.
Did you do it all in one chunk, Ricky?
I did it all in one chunk.
Wow. Because I think I'm going to do mine in 3 or 4 parts. I just don't see y'all doing it all in one chunk.
I don't know.
If it's not 4,000 words when I'm done, I'll be shocked. But that's all right.
I was able to, I think I got it down to like 3,100 words. I need to make one quick edit before, I guess after it goes up, but that'll be for then. So we'll talk about the first story. What happened was NoFX made a bit of an off color joke. A lot of people were outraged by it. A lot of people weren't. But it seems to be like the court of public opinion seemed to throw them in the in the gulag for this one. Melvin on stage. And by the way, I just want to make it perfectly clear. I actually didn't see this happen. I had to leave because I had to walk to the next club show at Punk Rock Bowling. So I actually did not witness this myself. But apparently, Melvin during their set at Punk Rock Bowling said, I guess you only get shot in Vegas. If you're in a country band, then Fat Mike replied, at least they were country fans, not punk rock fans.
That is the most offensive thing I've ever heard.
Obviously, they were referring to the Vegas shooting that happened, I believe, in October, and that
his last fall,
and that prompted Stone Brewing Company to sever ties with them for Punk and Drublick, and then subsequently they, I think the statements came out kind of a little before this, but then on May 30th, Punk Rock Bowling and the Stern Brothers.
That was actually the first one I saw was from Stern Brothers before Stone Brothers.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about this on the last episode of the podcast because it didn't really peak and didn't. It also, I don't even think we were aware of it at the time. We'll talk about it now. But so May 30th, 2018, the Punk Rock Bowling posted on Instagram. They said, in light of NoFX's comments during their performance at the Punk Rock Bowling and Music Festival, we would like to offer a formal apology to those in attendance. The city of Las Vegas, the victims and the families of October 1st. Las Vegas is home to the Punk Rock Bowling and Music Festival, and we do not condone the statements made from our stage on Sunday night. We take the safety of our festival goers seriously. We want to relay that there is nothing funny about people getting shot and murdered ever. And that's signed Mark Stern and Sean Stern, founders of Punk Rock Bowling. And then a little bit later, I believe like a day later, NoFX posted something else that said, it doesn't say which member of the band it is, but it said, I can't sleep. No one in my band can, what we said in Vegas was shitty and insensitive, and we are all embarrassed by our remarks. So we decided we will all get together to discuss and write an in-depth, sincere and honest apology because that's what the people we offended and hurt deserve. And then I believe the next day they wrote out a whole long thing that says, basically, I don't know, I'll read the whole thing. It just goes, there's no place here to backpedal. What NoFX said in Vegas was shameful. We crossed the line in civility. We can't write songs about how people in this world need to be more decent when we were clearly being indecent. Las Vegas has always been a welcoming city to our band, and to make light of the tragedy that occurred there was egregious. All members of the band would like to sincerely apologize to anyone who experienced loss from the Vegas shooting 8 months ago, and to anyone who was at our show who lost a loved one or a friend, or who had to witness the incredibly senseless violence that night. We were asked why we didn't release an immediate apology. Well, we didn't feel that we could write a sincere apology without reflecting on the actual damage we had done. No press agent was going to write this this for us. That's why we have struggled with this for the past few days. We didn't plan or intend to say anything or so insensitive. It was off the cuff, but just as hurtful. We don't blame it on drugs, alcohol, or Ambien. That's too easy. NoFX said it, and we own it. We made a tasteless joke, but to be clear, NoFX does not condone violence against any group or of people, period. As sincere as we've ever been, NoFX. And that prompted, again, Stone Brewing Company had to basically distance themselves and severed ties with them, and they make their beer, and I guess they were going to donate to some of the I guess the foundation for the Metro Las Vegas.
It was like a charity for like traumatized.
Yeah. And I think so that was going to happen. And basically that prompted, Punk and Drublick camp to, which is weird because it's like Fat Mike's new festival, but NoFX and
yeah, they dropped that in later press releases. It was Fat Mike Presents. Yeah. And that just sort of disappeared.
Yeah, and so what happened was NoFX and Me First and the Gimme Gimmies dropped off, which got the Vandals and the Descendants to replace them. I mean, it was just one hell of a shitstorm. So I guess, I mean, it's sort of, at least at this point, it's Wednesday the 6th, and things seem to have cooled off a bit. NoFX have been pretty quiet. At one point, this made it to moments on Twitter. And it seemed...
Yeah, that's actually how I found out about it. I didn't know about it until I saw, like, a news report that wasn't even related to any of the... I thought that it was being tailored towards me, but this was actually, like, a big story.
It was, like, beginning to trend, and...
Yeah.
What else happened?
So a bunch of people who had never bought a NoFX record, don't give a shit about NoFX, couldn't care less about NoFX, could be offended, too.
You know what?
People who have been people who have been following NoFX for years are not offended by this. It wasn't a particularly good joke, but I'm sorry. This is nothing. This is a bunch of horse shit. Sean, I should ask you first.
Yeah.
You're a young guy. You're the youngest guy. Is this offensive?
It's not, a bad not joke, to me, but I can see where I think where the it does a bit more damage is that it's not when you go to a NoFX show, you're expecting them to be offensive. Like you know what you're getting into, and I've seen NoFX plenty of times. They've made three times to be exact. I'm sure that doesn't qualify as plenty in some
people's.
That's
not plenty,
books.
Sean.
Yeah,
plenty
that's
10.
Three times. Yeah. But anyways, they make offensive jokes and that's just kind of what they do. But for people who are unacquainted with NoFX is kind of...
You think a lot of people at Punk Rock Bowling were unacquainted with
them?
Well,
actually...
I mean, once it's got outside of the walls of Punk Rock
Bowling...
But
once again, everybody's worried
about
these people
story.
Who weren't going to buy the records anyway. Who gives a crap?
Well, here's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Tom,
offended by this stuff, you know, all the people... Go ahead.
No. I mean,
it's this whole thing just irritates the piss out of me, so you're probably going to have a hard time calming me
down. I'm not going to lie. The festival didn't take place at the exact location where the shooting happened, but don't think I wasn't thinking about it like the first day. Like it was, and I was not in a joking way. I was this is the exact layout though. The Golden Nugget overlooked the parking lot place that the main festival takes over. But Tom, you bring up in a more broad sense, you bring up a very interesting point. Because if you watch the video, I heard some laughter and like kind of like laughing groans. And then you also have the outrage that happened later. And I'm curious,
Anti-Nowhere League plays up on ground.
Hang on a second.
Sorry, dude.
You bring up an interesting, there's an interesting dichotomy that happened here, kind of a schism within the scene. There are people, like you're saying, Tom, that were very, like saying this isn't a big deal, this was a joke, that's what they do. And by the way, they make jokes, they used to make jokes about Muslims, Jews, Nazis, especially they do Muslim, I think they make, but
handicap people, such as why do all the lazy people get to sit in
and
front?
And this is all, keep in mind, this is also the same band that writes, you know, has, you know,
songs about
sex with animals on their album art, all this stuff. So, but Tom, it's interesting because this has brought up a big schism in the scene between people that are offended and that people just know is a joke, but it just probably wasn't the best timed joke and wasn't the best executed joke. And if you watch the video, that seems that at least from what I saw and what I heard, it seems to have been, that split seems to have been kind of shown in the video too from the fans, but it's not like a bunch of people started walking out when they did that. I think maybe a few people did.
I think the outrage is fake. I'll go so far as to say that.
Why is that?
Well, no,
we live in an age of fake outrage and fake apologies and fake everything. It just, listen, but you know, the thing you were saying, Sean, you know, if you had somebody who was lost in that accident, it would be offensive. You're right. But you know what? Bands make pedophile jokes from stage. People are actually victim of pedophiles. You know, there's everything has a victim. People make murder jokes. People, you know, I mean, serial killer jokes are nobody's offended by that. And someone is a victim of a serial killer. You know, who's the committee who decides what they can say and what they can't? What's the line that can't be crossed? It's just like, who cares? It was off the cuff. I just don't think people are really offended. I just think they feel like they need to be offended or people just enjoy getting on their high horse and so showing some kind of moral outrage about something. I just think the whole thing's a bunch of horseshit.
When it comes to,
have I said
when
that
it
already?
Comes to this, when it comes to these kinds of outrage instances, either the band either has to apologize or they have to stand up and not apologize at all. And what happens a lot of the times is, regardless of what happens and regardless of the circumstances, the person that's getting outraged, they get all wishy-washy, not sure what to do, and what they do is they apologize. But it's interesting to see no effects apologize for a joke, especially them.
And I think it's much more difficult to kind of take that route, to stand your ground on a joke, to have to go back on that joke and defend it, because
I'm not saying it's
easy. It wasn't very well delivered. It wasn't.
No.
I mean, just from like a comedic structure standpoint, wasn't very funny. We can talk about whether or not like it was offensive, but just like the delivery wasn't great on that. So like, it's not something that you want to be like defending. Like, it's not something that seems like it's worth defending even at a certain point.
Well, also
because it's not like a work of comedic genius.
No. But also, I think one other thing that we do need to take into consideration that I didn't see a lot of people talking about is, you know, when is it okay to joke about this stuff? There are plenty of 9/11 jokes that comedians make, that everyone makes. That's been 15 years already?
Dude, a Holocaust joke, right? 6 million people died in the Holocaust. You'll hear Holocaust jokes.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, when is it okay to joke about a tragedy like this? It hasn't even been a year. And I'm not saying whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to do that, but I think those are questions that we haven't really established, and I think that's what happened.
And who is gonna establish it, Ricky? Who is supposed to establish it?
That's what I'm asking. But I think you can tell us off the cuff. I tend to think that I actually take their apology at face value. It was pretty well written, and they own it. They're not blaming anyone, especially the Ambien. So I think this is pretty much done. I mean, NoFX isn't going anywhere. Fat Records isn't going anywhere.
Let me state an unpopular opinion here.
Go ahead.
They're not sorry.
You don't think?
They had to make a decision whether or not it was worth losing money over. They decided it was a better economic decision to apologize than not to apologize.
Well, Tom,
I know I'm a jaded old fart and cynical as hell, but it's just that's the way I look at it. Same thing with Stone Brewing. They knew they weren't dealing with Mr. Frickin' Rogers.
I agree with you. Like they had to have known. Like there's some sort of risk with NoFX being associated.
The craft brewers, but attempts to be the SJW hipster types who, oh my gosh, are the easily offended type, and that's their audience more than the punk rockers.
Well, so. Tom, I'm curious to know if you think the whole thing is bullshit, which I'm not disagreeing with you on. I'm just curious because the one thing I'm having a trouble reconciling with is the first post they did, which is like they all can't, you know, the one that starts with they can't sleep. I'm curious, do you call bullshit on that?
You're probably on Adderall, dude. It's hard to sleep when you're on Adderall.
What I think is, yes, they've said things that would be considered more offensive. They've said things that have been in poorer taste, but it's rare that they actually kind of have their feet held to the fire on those things and have to think about what they've said and think about the implications of those things. And whether or not you think that it's offensive yourself, I mean, it's a lot tougher to kind of reckon with the kind of thought that, like, if you kind of just hadn't said anything, like, it kind of, you have that regret going on if you get the backlash, regardless of whether or not it was something that was okay to say. And right. I think one big thing, again, whether or not you think they should have apologized, or whether or not you think that it was that they had a responsibility to apologize, whether or not you think that was something that they had to do from a moral standpoint, I think from just a kind of recovery from a kind of public fallout, I think that they handled the situation very well. Yeah, there were some kind of losses in the sense that they didn't play that festival. They weren't able to play that show, but they were able to find replacements that everyone seemed pretty satisfied about. They put out an apology that seemed very sincere, seemed very heartfelt. I think that they handled the aftermath of the situation as well as somebody in that situation could have.
See, what bothered me a little bit here is like, okay, they had to kick themselves off their own festival. Like that I think was kind of insane.
My understanding about the festival, Ricky, is it's put on by a very professional company that specializes in festivals, and it's more or less that Mike lent his name to
it. Got it. Okay.
He may have had a financial stake in it. Matter of fact, I'm sure he has, you know, he obviously has some kind of a financial stake in it because they're using his name.
Yeah.
But it seems like this was not necessarily what you'd call, for lack of a better term, a punk organization.
Yeah. So, okay. That makes sense.
That's my understanding.
And we're going to get to Tom's experience at Punkin Drublic Camp in a bit, but I did want to mention that there was video going around. I believe it was during Pennywise's set at Punkin Drublic, and it was a clip of people chanting no effects. So regardless of if people were outraged or were angry about the joke or not, people seem to have quote unquote forgiven them. I think this is something that won't this isn't going to hurt Fat Records. This won't hurt the band. If anything, they got some publicity out of it.
And Goldfinger covered Linoleum, and everyone went crazy from the
really okay. Seen. See, yes. Yeah. I'm glad we talked about this. Okay, so let's
no. And matter of fact, even that punk rock. I'm in a closed punk rock bowling group, and most of, they're just laughing about this.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
oh, please give me a
no. I think that,
and like
that
I said, anybody who's been the main backlash is not offended.
Well, and also
the main backlash is for people who aren't like huge NoFX fans, because people
exactly.
who
so
are into NoFX, they know that that's just kind of
why
the nature
of the band.
Why are we kissing
their ass then, well, Sean? Why are we catering to them? Why are we kowtowing?
And here's
them?
The thing. Here's one thing. I didn't hear anything about this. Like I didn't hear any talk about this until I got back from Vegas. Like there was no one was talking about this during.
It takes a while to build up a false outrage, Ricky.
I guess so, but
it's the damn cell phones. I don't blame, you know, the Misfits reunion. They made you put your cell phones in a bag. I think it was mostly because Danzig doesn't want people to hear that he can't really sing anymore, and then he's put on some pounds. But John's not here to defend him. But but you know, it's hard to. I mean, these cell phones, everything. You know, there's been a couple of. I don't know if it's gone viral or what, but there was that. There's that other thing we'll talk about later with the Descendants and Jello. But there was also Jello talked about the whole NoFX situation.
So why don't we?
That's been posted too.
Why don't we do this? Okay, so.
There was so few people showed up for that particular part of it. I mean, there was a few hundred of us gathered in front of the stage, so I was right there.
Tom, why don't we do this? Let's just talk about this one story first, and then we'll go into your experience at
Punkin. You're the host, Ricky. Whatever you want to do, man. Whatever you want to do.
Okay, so if you were in a Punkin Drublic Fest, you did get to see probably one of the coolest things to happen in the last few years on a stage. This past weekend, Jello Biafra and the Guantanamo School of Medicine Descendants played Punkin Drublic Craft Beer and Musical Festival. During the Descendants set, Jello Biafra jumped on stage and they performed the Dead Kennedys classic Police Truck, which fucking phenomenal.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. And so you can see the fan shot video. Thank you to that fan, by the way, for shooting this, because oh my god, this is incredible.
It was not, and I would like to go on the record as saying it was not me who shot this, because one of the stipulations, I was there as media, was that I was not allowed to record things.
Oh, really? Lines,
and I did not.
Okay.
And it was the rules. This was not Anarchy Camp, dudes. This was like breaking into the gulag. There was a lot of rules.
So, Tom, I want to ask you, Sean, do you have anything to say about this video first? And then I have a question or two for Tom about Punkin
Drublic. Amazing.
I don't think we're going to disagree on it. I mean, the performance was incredible. They just had a great chemistry on stage. I hope to hear a Jello and Descendants album sometime soon.
Okay. That is quite the order from Sean. Okay. So Tom, was there, I have a few things if you want to go into them. I'm just going to fire off a couple questions. Feel free for what you want to answer. Sure. So
you're just going through puberty, Ricky. It's normal. All guys.
Apparently did other breweries decide not to do it?
I heard there was like four breweries that dropped off, but you know, they were advertised as a couple hundred, maybe it was separate beers. I don't think there were quite that many. Yeah. I did do the tastings. But okay. So here's the bottom line, guys.
Yeah.
There was at the regular festival. Not the tastings. The tastings, there was beers from all over, including a couple of Michigan breweries that I'm very familiar with. But at the festival itself, there were four beers on tap. Three of them were Stone. So at first, I was like super cynical, super jaded about this. I'm like, well, I guess they're going to pull out all support when it makes financial sense, you know? But the fact of the matter is, I'm sure that stuff is all contracted and maybe couldn't, you know, that they couldn't pull out. But I was just like, oh, they're going to pull out, huh? As soon as their kegs are empty, they don't want them to go to waste. They still want to make their money, you know? So I don't know. And I saw a couple people walking around with, you know, Fuck Stone Brewery t-shirts on, and censorship is to art what, boy, the one guy had a homemade t-shirt I liked so much. Censorship is to free speech what, oh, damn, I can't remember. I'll try to think of it. But anyway, there was, I definitely saw more anger towards Stone Brewery than I did toward, NoFX.
What kind of anger? And two, was like the fact that NoFX was not on the bill anymore. Was that sort of the talk of it? Also, I saw I saw posters like being advertised on like Instagram, with NoFX and Me for Something Get Me still on there.
Yeah, so, some of the
was that kind of the talk of the festival, like that they weren't there? I mean, well, it's not like you got pretty good, replacements.
My good friend that came with me, he was pretty bent out of shape about it. He went so far as to say if we didn't have all this stuff planned, he wouldn't go. He wanted to see NoFX. He loves Me First in the Gimme Gimmes. He loves NoFX. And I would have really liked to see NoFX to Me First in the Gimme Gimmes too, especially NoFX, just because I haven't seen them probably for 5 years now. And I've seen the Descendants more often. But I felt like the Descendants NoFX trade was a pretty fair trade overall. They're about at the same level, I would say. And if we're being honest, guys, Descendants put on a good show every time.
Absolutely.
NoFX are 50-50 at best. We were camping with people from Pittsburgh who had been at the Pittsburgh Drunk Republic, and they said NoFX was awful. And the other thing was, I believe one quote I heard was, it seems like they had a bad mixture of drugs. They were on a bad mixture of drugs. Like some of them weren't in sync with the rest.
I have a story about that.
I do love NoFX. I do love NoFX, and I hate to trash them. I'm not really trashing them. I like I said, I think they shouldn't have.
I do. Sorry to interrupt, Tom, but
I didn't apologize, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of us that feel that way. Me First and the Gimme Gimmes, I think popularity wise is a bit of a downgrade. But the Vandals were great. They did a great job. I love the Vandals, especially the like early stuff with the original singer.
I do have a story to tell you guys later about Punk Rock Bowling, but I can't tell it on the air. But Tom, continue with Punk and Drublic. I mean, how is
you want to take a break and do a song or something, or you want to just keep going?
Keep going. We'll finish Punk and Drublic, your Punk and Drublic thing, and then we'll get into some more stories. But I'm curious, like how are the stories? Like tell me about that, like.
So I got to say, that was probably so the thing with these festivals, right? The cool thing is you get all these bands. So you have this potential for these magical collaborations like the Descendants Jell-O thing.
Right.
And I had actually never seen Jell-O play live.
Really?
And it's funny because I just happened to catch the Dead Kennedys, who I know he curses now, but a few weeks ago. And I just was. The passion those old farts still play with, they obviously still have a passion for the music. And then seeing Jell-O the same way, I'm like, why can't we get these kids together?
Yeah,
it's so sad. And so Friday night, it was Keith and Jell-O. Keith Morris was just hanging out. His bands didn't play. Jack Grisham was just hanging out from TSOL. He was the moderator, and Jack's a great guy, charismatic, real interesting guy. And,
they must have had those bands on standby in case another band said something.
I don't know. Well, I didn't see any of the other members, but maybe. Well, they sure were able. It tells you how much money's involved that they're able to get the Descendants on like 2 days' notice. You know,
just in case one of the bands says something controversial, we'll just get a reunion going.
My conspiracy theory is that NoFX did this on purpose because they hate coming to the Midwest.
I think more festivals ought to just book a few. Just kind of bands that no one really likes at the bottom of the bill, and then switch them last second for some good bands. Because I saw a lot of people like actually really excited to see this switch. It's a nice little surprise.
I gotta tell you, man, the Descendants are. I mean, I don't want you know. I have they're so good, dude. They give me the feels every time I see them. And I think there was less people watching the Descendants than Pennywise, who played before them. We were able to get pretty close. This is not really Riot Fest size, you know. Like Riot Fest is. You know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people sometimes watching a band.
No, I've actually seen both.
This is more like punk rock bowling size. I don't think there was more than 10,000 people at any given point.
Tom,
I've actually seen Descendants and Pennywise at Riot Fest in different years, but I think that actually lines up. I think that there were more people for Pennywise as well. That's in my
crazy.
Experience.
That's crazy. It's weird.
Tom,
Pennywise put on a good live show too.
I don't want to give a full review because I am going to write everything out, obviously. But
I do have a question about the stories because. I may be wrong, but apparently, like, Keith and Jello actually talked about the NoFX thing, and apparently, did they disagree?
Yeah,
I was. Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I saw a video.
Both
of this
Keith
uploading.
And Jack were kind of like, "This is bull." And the crazy thing was, Jello said they were right to apologize. They shouldn't have said it. I'm like, the guy who had his freaking office raided by the police for censorship is saying that this was. I think Jello has become like a centrist Democrat.
Jello agreed that it was dumb that people were getting offended by it, and he was pointing out the similarities between the people who had backlash against NoFX and, like, you know.
But he said they should
religious censorship and stuff like that. But he said that they I agree that, like, in the interest of just keeping the peace, it's not that hard of a gesture to do, and it's not censorship in the same way. If you don't really stand by those beliefs,
to do it, it's not censorship, but it's just
it's self censorship.
You guys are going to make a great husband someday, Sean. If you're willing to just apologize for something you don't do, because that's the key to a happy marriage. I'm just apologize.
So
insincere,
Tom.
But the stories were great. Yeah. And the first night they did talk a lot about that stuff. The second night was really extraordinary because it was first the guy from Goldfinger came out, which was cool. I got to tell you, I don't give a rat's ass about Goldfinger. But he was an interesting guy, the singer. I didn't realize he was like a big time producer. His name escapes.
John Feldman. He produced the last Blink-182 album.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a big player as a producer. Yeah. And like I said, funny guy, entertaining guy.
5 Seconds of Summer these days.
Oh, dude, he's a real producer. I mean, he's not a punk producer. He's a real producer.
Yeah,
yeah.
But the conversation
Blink-182 album is the closest he's gotten, and that's saying
was Fletcher saying something. Oh, was Fletcher. Drunk as shit, Fletcher from Pennywise, literally sitting there asking the questions that you or I would want to ask. And he literally had Jello Biafra more or less pushed into a corner saying, what is it going to take to get a Dead Kennedys reunion? And it's like literally like what everybody on the earth wants to know. And he did the same thing with Keith and the Circle Jerks. And it was amazing because you can never get Jello to talk about that stuff. And it was, I got to tell you, I enjoyed that more than most of the bands. That to me, because the band experiences, it was fine, but it was watching bands in daylight in a field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm over that, guys. The whole Riot Fest thing. I know Sean, you're all excited about it. And listen, I don't blame you. I knocked quite a few bands off my bucket list at Riot Fest, but that's not how punk rock is supposed to be experienced standing in a freaking field.
I do have some.
It's supposed to be dark and there's supposed to be beer that's less than $10 for a draft, and they're supposed to be, you know, and it's just not how punk's supposed to be. This is I understand that punk's popular enough that it's become a major corporate phenomenon, but that's just not how it's supposed to be.
I'll get to that at a later point.
So, but I do disagree on that point. We'll probably talk about that later in the episode.
So what I do want to mention real quick is last year at Punk Rock Bowling, I believe Fletcher and Pennywise did the same thing. They're like, they actually asked because Off was playing and Punk Rock Karaoke played a club show, and they're like, what can we do, like, how can we get a Circle Jerks reunion back together, a reunion happening? And they played a Circle Jerk song with Chris Henson on stage. Sean, I know you weren't here when we talked about Riot Fest and that, but I just wanted to know, just give you, you know, a little bit of time. You're the one that's probably most likely out of the three of us going to Riot Fest. Are you happy with the?
Do you have your tickets yet, Sean?
Are you happy with the first round of bands? What do you think?
Yeah, very much. I know there are a lot of people who are disappointed that there wasn't like some huge headliner, that there wasn't some big reunion. But that's never really been the big appeal for me at Riot Fest. Like, it's an added bonus if there is one, but I'm mainly there because, like, I don't go to too many like big club shows during the year. It's just like not financially realistic. So I can just knock out like a ton of bands in one weekend. And the mid to low like roster and on this festival is incredible.
I agree. All the bands I want to see are like midway and down.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but I got to tell you, if it were me, I would at least want it just for my musical education. I'd still want to see Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's cool.
That's definitely
but
cool.
But the ones above them don't do much for me.
Actually, and here's the thing.
I'm surprised that they brought Blink back, because the first year I went, I saw Blink and it was kind of a disaster.
I think that was like the second last year I went.
They're like a notoriously bad band live. And I do want to just say.
Oh, no, not just like their performance, like the audience. Oh, like really? There were people getting sent to the hospital.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It was
hard to control.
At least, you know, when it comes to like the really old timey guys like Jerry Lee Lewis, I had the chance to see B.B. King, and I didn't, and I regret it to this day, because I play guitar, and that would have been so cool to see.
Well, dude, there's always the hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jerry Lee Lewis, so they put out, Riot Fest put out a teaser video before they released the lineup, and a lot of them, the teaser video included a lot of polka covers of songs by artists that would be on the lineup, and so they had like a polka band covering Shipping Off to Boston and We've Had Enough by Alkaline Trio. And then the last song they played was Great Balls of Fire. And I was thinking like, that can't be right. Cause I didn't realize Jerry Lee Lewis was still alive. Even.
Oh, he's
like,
still playing shows. He's still doing everything.
Yeah. He's like Johnny Cash's era. I mean, he's gotta be in his 80s, right?
He's gotta be close to it.
I guess people have forgiven him for marrying his cousin. Like, certainly they can forgive Fat Mike for making us a off-color joke.
All right, so on that note, why don't we play a song? Who wants first of all, we're not doing mail today, but you can email us at podcast@punknews.org when John is back.
We may not be doing it, but I'm sure we'll be generating
it. Well, so let us know what you think about this whole insane controversy with NOFX. It's pretty much over, but at least for the most
part.
Don't
you think it would have been over? Don't you think it would have been over if they had to save the apology too, though? I think it'd be over either way.
I don't know. Anyway, so who wants to play a song? Sean, do you have a song?
Yeah. Let's see. This is a song I've been wanting to play for a while, because I've really loved this new EP from a local band called So It Goes. It's not even a new EP. It came out like at the beginning of the year, but I've just been, it's been in rotation for a while, and I'm finally getting around to doing a review on it. But the EP is called Sex Machines Without Sex, and this is the opening track off of it, called The Two-Hit Story. So this is So It Goes with The Two-Hit Story off of their semi-new EP.
This is The Two-Hit Story. Two hits. Me hitting you, you hitting the fucking ground!
Hit the three point like the rock, bitch, you got broke. Hit the three point like the rock, bitch, you got broke.
Okay. And that was So It Goes, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So we have a couple of stories, and then we got a few smaller stories later on. This one, this is definitely a Ricky story, something I was wondering what was happening with this. So last year, during a short run of Choking Victim reunion shows, singer SZA stated that the band was recording some of their performances for a live album. It appears that that the release is now in the works. SZA stated that he is currently in the studio working on the release now. He stated via Twitter, "I am locked in a studio working on the Choking Victim live in a dive for Fat." P.S. Is that how do I write dive with a thin line through it?
I was confused about that last part.
You can find
missing the joke.
I guess there's an original tweet. You can see the original tweet on Twitter. I didn't get that either. But I gotta tell you, I don't know about you two. I saw Choking Victim twice. I saw them once in Orange County, and then I saw them at Punk Rock Bowling last year. It was phenomenal. Both shows were.
I was so bummed I missed that.
And it was, I was always hoping for a Star Fucking Hipsters reunion. I never thought I would ever see a Choking Victim reunion. So,
are they broken up?
Star Fucking Hipsters?
Officially.
Yeah. I don't know if a
are they just on hiatus?
They're on hiatus. There's also a bunch of like other shit to do that they have to deal with, I think.
But like legally? Or?
I have no idea. I don't think legally. I think there's just more to it than they're letting on. But, but I guess Leftover Crack seems to be the main focus at this point for now. But
Ezra wasn't part of that, was he?
Of Choking Victim?
Yeah.
No. It was the original.
Did Ezra just join for Leftover Crack, or was he originally part of Choking
Victim? He was in the later part, I believe, during No Gods, No Managers, but I don't think he was on the first three EPs that came out. But again,
okay. And then he wasn't on the reunion either, right?
No.
SZA and Ezra have some sort of bad chemistry or something? Do they have something between them?
I can't verify it myself, but for the most part, it seems that way. That's as far as I'll go with that. I don't know the whole story there. But this is quite significant because we haven't had a Choking Victim release since 1999, which was No Gods, No Managers, the only full length that they ever did, which is, in my opinion, a classic. And if they're doing, I guess Fat really is investing in this revival of Live in a Dive, because you got Fat, NoFX putting that out. And then you have this one, I guess, coming out on Fat. I could not be more excited for this. The shows again were insanely fun, and they did all the classics. It was like the original trio. That's how the best, I guess it was like the original drummer, Alec and Sturgeon. You can actually I reviewed one of the shows. Actually, no, I had to review both shows. I reviewed both performances for Punk Rock Bowling and Orange County for Punk News. It was a legendary show. It was one of the few 5 out of 5 star shows that I've ever been to. I'm excited for this. I can't wait. I just hope it's, I'm just hoping that it's a good quality recording. That's what I'm a little tentative about. Regardless, though, I am jumping on this as soon as the pre-order happens. Sean, are you into Choking Victim and all that stuff?
I love Choking Victim. Okay. I love all those, the Crack Rock Steady bands. One thing I'm interested in, I feel like back when they were doing these reunion shows, didn't you say something about them like playing a new song that didn't have lyrics yet?
You know, I think either I did or maybe John did too. But I remember them.
Oh, did John go to the
reunion show? Oh, no. I remember hearing either seeing something about it. No, yeah, he went to the Philly show. But I'm one. At least I think he did. I'm pretty sure they did play a new song without lyrics. I believe that you are correct.
So I'm wondering if that's going to be on there, or if they just like, because it seems like the Choking Victim reunion is done. So if that's just going to be scrapped, or
well, I maybe it'll be a bonus track. Yeah. Regardless, even if there is no new stuff, which I'm tentative about, also, I'm jumping on this. This is insane. It's been almost 20 years since they've released anything. So,
yeah.
John, Tom, what about you? I don't know if you're not too into this stuff, are you?
No, it's not really my area of expertise. I'm not. I don't really listen to any of that stuff. I might enjoy it. I just haven't. Just only so many hours in the day. You know?
Yeah, true.
As I mentioned, I love Choking Victim, but I'm just not much is getting me all that excited about this, being that it's just kind of old material. It's just like kind of a live album. Like, I enjoy live albums every now and then, yeah. But I'm like, I don't know if they were. If they sounded any particularly different on stage. I didn't see them again.
Oh, but, it was, I mean, it was, from what I remember, it was, I mean, it didn't sound bad. It was a really good sounding show. What they did do though, was they did bring on a second guitarist for certain songs. I think it might've been the No Gods, No Manager songs maybe, but,
So did No Gods, No Managers, do the original recordings have two guitars?
Yeah, because, well, I believe Ezra was in the band at that point, and yeah. And Sturgeon, I believe, was playing guitar too.
Yeah.
But what happened...
Plus, it's obviously very easy to layer guitars in the studio.
True. But
it's much more difficult to do that live.
But yeah, they had, I believe his name's Kyle White from Public Serpents at the Orange County show that I went to, and then... they actually brought up Brad Logan for second guitar at Punk Rock Bowling, which is really, really cool. And they brought out Ara from the original Leftover Crack drummer to play. That was really, really cool. So,
100 more days.
Alex. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I hope we can get more consistent updates. But other than that, I don't think there's much more to say. But we got another fairly big story here. We have... the documentary Turn It Around, the story of East Bay Punk will be getting a DVD release and a soundtrack release. It's more like a collection more, I guess. Fair warning, I've not seen this yet because it was only in theaters and it hasn't been on video, like on iTunes or Netflix yet. So, or video on demand. So, but I am curious. I do want to see this. I believe I'm the only one here to have been to see a show at Gilman Street. So I guess I'm de facto NorCal punk expert here. It has been announced that the DVD and Blu-ray release for the documentary Turn It Around, the story of East Bay Punk, will be released on June 22nd, 2018. The soundtrack, which will feature unreleased and rare songs from Green Day, Rancid, Operation Ivy, Neurosis, and more, will be released on double LP vinyl, and cassette via 123 Go Records. It's the local record store and label up there. According to the announcement, all proceeds from the soundtrack will be going to the Women's Daytime Drop-In Center in Berkeley, California. You can find all the details and all that stuff on the Instagram link that we embedded on the Punk News story. The track list, I mean, I can go through it real quick. You got Crimpshine. You got Neurosis, The Lookout, Sweet Children, which is the pre-Green Day band, Mr. T Experience, Jawbreaker, Crimpshine, Operation Ivy, Pansy Division, NOFX, Green Day, Rancid, The Armstrongs. So
yeah, that was the one that stuck out to me.
NOFX is kind of amongst.
Wait, you both spoke at the same time. Sean, what
I say, you sure they're not going to pull that NOFX track now?
I think it's too...
It is the Bay Area.
and then I guess you had the other Green Day side project, Pinhead Gunpowder. Sean, what did you say?
Oh, just that that Armstrong's track kind of stuck out like a sore thumb on the track list when I was going through it, because first of all, it's a lot more recent than a lot of these other tracks.
Yeah.
And also... I just have very bad memories of listening to that song. It's definitely memorable. I remember the melody and everything. I just remember it being really awful.
Well,
I saw Rancid last weekend, right? That they headlined Sunday night. They were the last band to play. And I got to tell you, they were really good. And I hadn't seen them much lately. But if I would just see Tim walking around the street, I would just assume he was some insane homeless person. I mean, he really is. And his clarity in speech has not improved since last time I saw him.
So that's all right. I think so. Here's what I did. I think this will be a great collector's piece just for the vinyl nerd in me. So I did order the vinyl. I don't know how many times I'm going to rewatch this, so I didn't get it. I didn't get the movie. I'm just kind of hoping I can rent it on iTunes at some point, because I'm definitely curious to see how they did this, because I wasn't able to see
it. It'll stream somewhere.
I hope so.
There's so many great docs streaming.
Are either of you going to get this? Overall, it's a pretty interesting track list, though, aside from the Armstrongs.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely very interested in this, and it looks like it would be a very... something that would be of interest to me, something that I would enjoy.
I'll check it out.
All right,
I'd like to hear it a little bit before I buy it, but I'll check it out.
Okay, cool. So I guess we can move on then. Tom, do you have a song to play?
Probably.
Or do you want me to go first?
Go ahead,
Ricky. Okay, so... I've seen this band at Punk Rock Bowling 2017. I just saw them open. Oh, not just, but I saw them open for Bad Cop at a headlining show at the Viper Room in February, I believe. And they were really cool. I think we featured them in a Punk Rock Bowling article a year ago or so. And they're called the Venomous Pinks. They're out of Arizona. They put out a 7-inch in 2017, which is called We Do It Better. I'm going to play the title track from that. You should check them out. They do kind of like the melodic punk thing. They also do the hardcore thing. They're a cool kind of up-and-coming band that definitely check out. So here is the song We Do It Better from the Venomous Pinks 7-inch, We Do It Better.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
Okay, and we are back. Tom, Sean, we'll do a few quick stories. First of all, I'm really happy we can at least talk about this band. They're from my sort of my neck of the woods, and also we keep getting told that we need to talk about more older bands. So, West Coast Punk Legends, the Adolescents have released a song. Called Queen of Denial. The song comes from their upcoming new release, Crop Duster, which is coming out via Concrete Jungle Records on July 20th, 2018. The band is also going on summer tour. You can check out the tour dates on the Punk News article. Damn, they're really going everywhere. So
they've been cranking out an album every couple of years. Unfortunately, they're mostly like this foreign label, so they're not very easy to get. But they've been very productive the last decade.
Yeah, they put out a split with the Svetlanas through like some Italian label that was pretty good too.
I think their main label is German, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong.
I don't know.
You can get some of their stuff through the import sites, but yeah,
There's two of the dates are Concrete Jungle Records Label Fest, and they're both in Germany, in Berlin and Nuremberg.
We should fly over there, guys.
I actually saw them at day one of MuSync, the Travis Barker Festival. And I've seen them before, but...
That wasn't the Ska one. That was the...
That was just...
Oh, wait, that was the one that had the very disjointed lineup on the...
It's weird. Days, like, right? Every... Like, day was, like, legit punk. Then the day two was, like, crappy pop punk from MTV 1999. And then, like, just straight up hip-hop. And so they... But I gotta tell you, the Adolescents still got it. They were really good. And
yeah, they're good. I saw them last year at Warped Tour. It was the first time I'd ever seen them. They were a bucket list band for me. I was so thrilled to... see him, and I gotta say, they played on that old man stage, which was very poorly attended, so it was like being in a club, other than the fact that it was like, you know, broad daylight.
Yeah, they're also playing Riot Fest, really good.
But they play a lot of newer songs too, and you're just like, I just want you to play the Blue album. Stop playing all these new songs. But they were good, the new songs were good and too. They're not much to look at this point, but they sound good.
and this song is, I mean, they're pretty much staying in step with their usual sound. I mean, They're just kind of branching out just enough, but you can tell, like, if you put this on, I'd probably guess this was some sort of SoCal punk band, and Adolescence would probably be like the first or second choice.
Label wants to send me that, I'd be more than happy to review it, but it's a pain in the ass to get otherwise. So
I think I reviewed.
Anyway, they're cool. I dig
them. I think I reviewed their album maybe an album or two ago, and it was pretty good. I mean, it was fun, and also they're really upping it on the guitar solos, especially in this track. So this is going to be something I check out for sure.
It's just kind of generic, I think, is the main thing. Like,
it doesn't
really stick out much from the crowd. It's not awful, but
it's very. Listen, this is a very adolescent song. Like, this isn't like. I'm not saying this is anything revolutionary, but you know what they're doing.
It's not Kids of the Black Hole, but it's all right.
Yeah.
So and then the next story we got, we have Beach Rats. If you don't know Beach Rats, there's some God. It's been hard to track this band because all they do is post on Instagram, and at least from what we've seen. And they're very slowly trickling out stuff. They have an EP coming out in July. But Beach Rats is a band, East Coast band, which features members of Bouncing Souls, Lifetime, Minor Threat, and Bad Religion. And they have officially announced their debut show. It will take place in Asbury Park Brewery in Asbury Park, New Jersey on July 21st, 2018. Supporting acts will include Stag Party, School Drugs, Fuck It, I Quit, and The Wilds. And you can see the really kind of fun poster that's embedded in the article. I mean, there's a lot of mystery around this band. They have that EP coming out later this in the summer, but I mean, are they just trying to keep us in suspense? I mean, I think this could be really cool. Tom, you're the old timer here, and probably been following these bands much longer than we have. Do you think this is a good call to pre-order?
Sorry, I had my mic off. My computer's doing that thing where it's really loud again.
Oh,
I have not been paying much attention to this band, Ricky. I got to tell you, and I also don't like the mystery. It's just like Knock Me Dead with a couple of good songs, and you got me. You know?
Okay.
All this crazy marketing. Great shit. I don't know. It might be good. It's got the good pedigree, obviously.
Yeah, I mean it's.
But yeah, I'm barely. Like I said, they're barely on my radar. I don't tweet.
Well, this is Instagram. Sean,
I do that, but I never look at it. I have it.
Sean, are you into this? I mean, obviously, we haven't heard anything yet, but I think I'm
excited to hear what it sounds like. But there's not really much to be following at this point,
right? So, I just want to say if you are going to the show, please
take footage on your
take
phone.
Footage, send in a review to Punk News. I think that would be a really interesting read because you got Bouncing Souls people, you got God, why am I Brian Baker.
Lifetime.
Brian Baker. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and Brian Baker is a very underrated guitarist in the punk scene. I just saw them play a very small venue about a month ago, and he is a killer guitarist. So I'm interested to see what the, how this goes. I think they're actually going to be a hardcore band, surprisingly. So this is going to be, this is definitely going to be interesting.
I guess that's not that surprising.
Well, I mean, the thing is, yeah, Bouncing Souls.
Which guy is it from Bouncing Souls?
I think it's
just two guys.
Can't be the singer.
No, it's two guys, a guitarist and the bassist. Oh,
Pete and
the names are up there. I think it's Pete and Brian.
Pete and Brian.
Yeah,
there's two Brians in the band.
Not Brian the singer, because I mean, if it's a hardcore band, I'm sorry, Brian's not going to be your singer. Brian from Bouncing Souls.
Well, we'll see. I'm excited.
Brian Kienlin. From Bouncing Souls.
Yeah, that must be the that's not the singer. What's the singer's name?
Ari. I guess from Lifetime. Am I getting that wrong? Anyway. Let us know. We haven't done a research. If you can write in or just write into the podcast, let us know how this goes, because this will be a very interesting show. I actually wonder if Samantha Barrett will be going to this. And then finally, I don't know if we talked about the MXPX album that's coming. That's apparently coming out through, I guess they're putting it out themselves with by crowdfunding. But
I'm sorry, Greg's the singer. Greg's the singer for the Bouncing Souls. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Google.
So MXPX, while they are, I guess, finishing up a new album, have announced some West Coast shows that are supposedly going to be their record release shows, even though they haven't released any details on the record itself yet. But the West Coast shows were scheduled for July. The run of tour dates will be the release shows for the upcoming album. You can watch the tour announcement video on Facebook and see the list of shows below. So they're going to be hitting up two California dates, Washington and Oregon in July. This is a band I've actually never really checked out, but I did want to talk about because it seems to be pretty significant. I've seen like celebrities donate to this, not like major celebrities, but celebrities like donate to this crowdfunding. So I think this might be a bit of a nostalgia act, and but still, this seems to be a significant thing. I don't know about you, Tom.
Yeah,
Tom.
I hate to keep. I once again, my microphone's off. I'm a highly trained professional. I'm sure Greg will take those gaps out of there for us. Hey, Greg. No. It's funny, you know, and I hate to double back again to this festival I was at last weekend, but it's kind of dominated my life for the last week or two. Mike, the main guy from MXPX, was playing with Goldfinger.
Well, Goldfinger is basically it's basically a super group. Like the actual backing band behind John Feldmann, like, aren't in the band. When I saw them at the Scallywag, like, it was Mike Herrera, and
Barker, right?
Oh no! Travis Barker. Travis Barker played.
That was on the last album.
Travis Barker played.
I would say he wasn't at this show I was at.
No, Travis Barker played like at that Huntington Beach festival, ska festival with him. But
yeah, and he played on the record too, I believe.
Oh, did he? Okay. So yeah, it's sort of like a super group, but it's mostly John Feldmann doing Goldfinger songs, which I'm not complaining about. I mean, I wasn't, as long as I can hear Superman live, I'm happy. whatever.
So you guys are Goldfinger fans. So I, for some reason,
you know, just no, here's why. Really here,
I only remember the Here in My Bedroom. Wasn't it the Here in My
Bedroom? Yeah, Here in My Bedroom, 99 Red Balloons. But here's the thing. Like,
but 99 Red Balloons is a cover of a cover.
I know. But here's the thing. Like, for me, Goldfinger and maybe Sean. I don't know. Sean, you might not have been terribly conscious when this was happening. But sorry to be condescending prick about it, though.
That's factual.
Like, might have been a fetus.
When Goldfinger was putting out their early stuff, I do not remember much from that period.
Well, like, here's the thing. Like, for me, like, Superman was a pivotal song, a ska song, because first of all, I think it was the first ska song I ever heard, because I was playing Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 after, you know, late elementary school and early middle school. So for me, it is cool to see them do that. And I later got into some of their stuff. And if I could just, I kind of pick and choose their songs, but yeah, I've no issue with them but I don't know. Sean, you never played. Did you play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1?
No, I had one of the, one of the Shaun White games.
Which
had an interesting soundtrack. That never had the same cultural
significance.
Influence yeah. that the Tony Hawk games seemed to have.
It was really Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 that had the really phenomenal soundtracks. But back to MXPX. They are putting out a new album. They're going to be playing some shows. I might check the Troubadour show out. I'm not sure yet. And then our final story.
On that note, because this crowdfunding the album thing reminded me. I've never been huge into MXPX, but are either of you into Jerome's Dream?
I've not heard of them.
I've never heard of them.
Okay, because I feel like we haven't really been covering that, but maybe we have to get into that, because they also recently crowdfunding a reunion record. I think they've been broken up for almost 20 years, and they've come back, and they crowdfunded a record. So
interesting.
I guess
that seems to be a thing right now. Like Sum 41 did that. L7's doing it right now.
I mean, that sucks that a band is. The band's that big at the crowdfund. It's terrible.
You don't have to tell the label.
Also, I think UK subs were doing that at one point. But it's
just got the new UK subs promo in my inbox today. Right?
There you go.
So I'll let you know.
I think it may not just be about not being able to get signed, but also it's a way to still own your music.
That's the thing, like not having to deal with the label.
Yeah, I mean, Sum 41 eventually put it out through Hope, their album out through Hopeless, and I wonder what L7's going to do, it seems to be a viable option now, especially because they are in control of not just the music, but I mean, they give away, like if you're a fan, they give away cool stuff, and it seems like the fans are willing to pay a premium for maybe a signed copy of the record, or like I've seen stuff like where they give away the guitar that they use in the studio with that sign too. I mean, it's not a horrible way to go if you have the name recognition.
Yeah.
I have tickets to see L7 in July.
They're really cool.
And I'm going to look it up right now, cause I think it might be, I've had this thing going on where I've seen bands with this tremendous gap in years between, I think L7 might break the record, because I think it's going to be, I think I saw them in 91.
Wow.
And I haven't seen them since. So.
They're cool.
That was the year I graduated from high school, kids. talk about old.
They actually did, they played Punk Rock Bowling this year. They were great. They played a few new songs that sounded really good. And people were stoked to see them. Like I wasn't too sure, cause I hadn't followed them a whole lot, but, it was a really good show. I do recommend it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I watched they have a documentary out that is really, really worth watching. It's called Pretend We're Dead. And I'm a huge Doc fan. You know, I love of course, the Descendants one and some of the other ones, but that one is really great. So check it out.
All right. So our final story of the night is about the Revolts, which is a band we don't talk about a whole lot. The Revolts have announced a new 7-inch, which is called Wages. It is due out on June 29th, 2018 via our friends at Pirates Press Records. And you can see the details of all the album art and the track listing on the Punk News article. This is, I guess Spike is going back into doing this. I don't really know what the lineup of the band is anymore, because it seems like people are in and out, but this could be cool. I know the black version of it has already sold out from Pirates Press. And I don't think, when was the last time was their last EP?
It hasn't been that long, has it?
I think their last EP.
Didn't they do a full length?
No, they did like a 10-inch that came out in like 2007, I think. Hang on a second, let me just make sure I got this.
I'm Googling right now, dude.
The Revolts EP, the self-titled, came out in 2007. That came out, and it was self-released. So that's really interesting. So
Yeah, we should give a shout out to our friends at Pirates Press. They are doing a bunch of reissues lately.
Yeah.
And they have been amazing.
Yeah.
These guys make the most beautiful records.
Yeah. And
I mean, they really do. I know I'm kissing their ass, but they make the most beautiful records. That's all there's to it.
Yeah. And we're not shilling. We're not paid to do this, but they're also doing something called like Picture Flexies 2, which I'm not really sure what's going on. With that, but which, it sounds like a cool venture. But
is that the only thing the Revolts did? Their discography is literally that one EP.
I think so. Yeah,
man, I thought they did like a split with MDC or something. I don't know. I thought there was more than that, but
no. I mean, not according to what I'm looking at. But yeah, new Revolts.
Picture Flexies. That's interesting. So that's just combining the two worst sounding types of vinyl into one.
That's, you know what? You're not wrong. How about that?
It's definitely a novelty. Yeah. But the thing is, they can print them off really cheap, and they literally like can hand them out like as promo items. If you order something from them, you might get three or four of those in your order with it.
I'm pretty sure they were passing those out at or selling them at Punk Rock Bowling. I bet you they were.
I don't think they have a couple that I know they have a couple of those are pushing.
Pirates Press didn't have like a booth there, but Noise was there. Old Fruit Casuals were there. So
did you see Noise?
I did see Noise. They were phenomenal.
They're great, aren't
they? They were phenomenal. Yeah.
How were the Old Fruit Casuals?
They played the a club show. I didn't see them.
Cause I gotta tell you, man, I never really paid attention to any of the Rancid side projects. Probably because the first one I heard was like something with Tim Armstrong and I wasn't really interested. But Lars's side projects are amazing.
Oh yeah, they're good.
Lars Ferguson, yeah. The Bastards are great. Old Firm Casuals, and I never paid any attention. I'm now like scrambling.
Yeah, I haven't listened to them enough. I really want to check that. And also Lars Ferguson and the Bastards, I want to see. I need to listen to more too.
Their first album is really great.
Yeah, I need to check it out.
Yeah.
But I I don't know what it was. Rancid's one of those bands to me. They're not like a favorite of mine. And I don't really pay much attention to them. I buy their albums, I listen to them three or four times, and then I shelf them, and that's it. But man, they were great live. And last time I saw them live, I was not impressed at all. But I was at Riot Fest, and I was like 5,000 feet away from them, you know? And I was able to get.
Was that when they were playing Out Come the Wolves? Oh no, you said your last one was 2013, right? So that would have
it's been a few years since we've been there, and I probably won't go back. It's just not for me anymore.
When I'm
more excited to go see the Dagle Abortions play in a club, who's a tiny band that from Canada that most people don't even know who they are, than I would be to go see, you know, five giant bands. I'm just sort of over it, you know.
If you didn't have any other conflicts, would you come out to this Riot Fest lineup?
I do have a conflict with work, and let me tell you the absolute truth, Sean. So when they did the Misfits reunion, which was what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
No, it was last year, wasn't it?
Our editor, our friend and editor and hero and captain of our ship. Procured us some media credentials to go to the show. And I had actually just been like the week before following my boy Sloppy Seconds for like a Grateful Dead type long weekend, you know, hanging out with them. So I had no money and I couldn't even afford Chicago to go and stay there is so expensive. And if you want a drink or anything else, I don't see myself going. Even if it was free, it would still cost me more than I'd be willing to spend. And then, you know, I'll get into it later. But the same thing with these punk and drubbuck events. These things are not catering to the street level punk. You have to be middle class to be able to afford.
No, I mean, and listen, and punk,
and then
punk,
offering punk, these crazy $1,000 VIP options and all this is like, oh man.
Well, punk. Riot Fest keeps it relatively cheap. They went up a bit this year,
Riot Fest is the one, in my opinion, Sean. Riot Fest is the one who broke the bank and started ushering in all these crazy VIP packages.
Well, I got to have,
yeah, I mean, they've got the VIP packages. I never pay attention to those.
I went at least 2 years VIP, and the first year was like $200.
I've gone at least 2 years free because they just have so many different programs that they have. They give away so many tickets through willing to work various
and
stuff. Different.
And this punk and drubble guy was at, you could tell who was like the punk volunteers who were just trying to get free tickets because they looked a lot different than the professionals who were actually working for the company. You know, I mean, they all had the same stupid vest, but you could definitely, you know, The guy with dreadlocks who smelled like he hadn't showered for weeks before he started camping. But anyway.
Well, I mean, listen, yeah. Punk rock bowling was not cheap either. I
know it's not, but I think you could do punk rock bowling flying out. For me, I think I could fly out there and do that for not a whole lot more than something like this Punkling Drublick that I drove to. If I had to pay for everything, which I did not. They were very good to us. I'm not looking to look a gift horse in the mouth. I just don't think this is for me at this point in my life. You know?
Yeah.
I haven't slept in a tent. I don't even know the last time I slept in a tent. Let me tell you, it sucks.
Yeah.
Sleeping in a tent is stupid. People who do that on purpose are have rocks in their heads.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't shower for 3 freaking days, dude. I my only facilities were porta potties. It's vile.
Okay, so on that note,
we're going as long as we do when John's on.
Actually, no, we're doing okay for time. Tom, why don't you play a song and then we'll be right back. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna play a song from an album. I have no relation to this band or album at all, other than the fact that I'm half Dutch and this band is Dutch. But I just reviewed it and I think it's so great and I want the world to hear it. They've been around for about 20 years. Like I said, they're Dutch. They're called Vitamin X. And they just put out a new album this year on Southern Lord called Age of Paranoia. So let's go ahead and play. Let's play the title track. So this is Vitamin X doing Age of Paranoia.
And that was Vitamin X. Tom, John, thank you for...
Hey, can I let me say one more thing, Ricky, before I forget, because I was able to actually meet a couple of readers / listeners at this thing. So let me give a shout to, I think it was James, who said he was a regular listener, and Chris, who I met at Punk and Drublick.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate you guys, It's strange, though. I think we have a disconnect. I think we have some people that read and some people that listen to the podcast. So that's why I'm not terribly worried about kind of giving a preview of my review on the podcast, because I think it's actually caters to sort of two different groups. But anyway, and I always tell people, if you see me out and about, don't be afraid to say hello.
Yeah, we'll
we'll have a laugh. And
I actually met a reader of punk rock bowling. It was Gormageddon, I think his name. That's his.
Oh yeah, yeah. I see the Gormageddon.
Yeah, him. Yeah, I met him. He was really cool. I met Exile for you or whatever his name is at at a Lawrence Arms show. Everyone's been very nice, and so shout out to them too. Most of the time, readers are quite nice. It's just the
it's easy to be an asshole when you're sitting at your computer.
Yeah. it's just the cancer in the comments, as I say. But Sean, yeah. Do you have any?
Even most of the trolls are all right. The so-called trolls. Most of them are just passionate. I think that's what we need. We need those passionate people. But it's always good to know that there's people who aren't commenters that are listening, because we don't know how many read. You know how many people read, but don't comment. You know, I don't know what the ratio is.
I'm sure
the only ones who comment are the freaking loudmouths that we love.
Well, Sean, do you have anything else you would like to say? I mean, you're going to be doing Riot Fest, so that's going to be cool, right?
Yeah, and then also. If you are in the Midwest, I should probably advertise this again. I think I may have mentioned it on an earlier show, but I'm putting together a festival next July, or festival in quotes. It's one day, one venue, but we're just about to announce a few new bands that'll probably be out by the time this podcast comes out. So right now, headlining is Telethon and The Eradicator and This Is How It Ended in Tokyo, which I know is a listener favorite.
Come on, Ricky, fly out. I'll drive over there if you fly out, buddy.
Wait. Is it Eradicator solo or is it full band?
Full band.
Nice. Full band. Oh, I'm jealous. That's
who's
gonna be
backing
cool.
him up. Who's backing up? Can you tell?
No, I think it's just the normal band that he's been using recently.
Well, it's that Ryan, right? Playing bass.
Yeah, with Ryan.
That's going to be great.
I just know his pickup band in Grand Rapids. I know those guys, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay.
This Is How It Ended in Tokyo is loved by the, listeners of this podcast.
I have never, I see the name and I just tune them right out. I don't know what it is.
Probably for me. I think I may have been shoving it in people's faces a bit much. And, somebody wrote into the podcast saying that their music was the equivalent of rocks or of marbles falling down the stairs, which I appreciated, and the band now has that as their Instagram bio. So
nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so
what day is that, Shawnee? Give me again.
July 14th. It's a Saturday.
Wait, is it in the suburbs or in the city?
Suburbs. Downers Grove.
Okay.
Sweet. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, Sean and Tom, thank you for being here on my very first
Ricky. I think hosting. Your first hosting was a smashing success.
Thank you.
Hopefully we didn't offend too many people, but if we did, we're not sorry.
And if you're offended,
we're certainly not sorry.
If you're offended, send your email to podcast@punknews.org or write in.
We'll be offended somewhere else.
Or if you're not offended and you want to defend NoFX, let us know. I would love to hear different. I would like to see how split the scene is, if it really is that split about that issue. Anything else? I think we're good. Again, 400 seems to be in the works, but we're gonna get there. I promise. At some point we will. So I guess that's it, and we'll see you next week. Later, guys.
See you later.
This has been a Velour Underground production. I am Greg Simpson, producer of this podcast. Hit me up if you want me to mix, master, or produce your podcast, even from afar. Or, you got a band you want to come record with me in scenic Lafayette, Indiana? Let's do it. Hit me up at greg@velourundergroundstudios.com.